yes, we are in a strange situation. Yes, we are in something that we never planned for. We never could have even imagined being, right? Living in a virtual world. But it is okay. And that's the message that I want to bring everybody today with my guest, Joy Stevens. She's the Associate Director of Counseling and Career Services. And she's going to be able to explain even better and more beautifully, you know, ways and tips in which you can cope. And because I am with you right there. I've never studied, you know, anything like that. I've read many books on how to be strong and how to be happy and how to be this and how to be that. But I am not an expert, right? And I am still trying to figure it all out. And I'm still battling with all of my feelings and my concerns and my personal little bubble. Joy has experience with dealing with students, with working with other people, and she can guide us and give us strength. And maybe you're feeling like you're sinking. It's the first day and you're already like, this is too much, you know, emotionally, it's too much. And you need something or somebody to hold on to. People like Joy are the people that you want to reach out to. First day, second day, whatever day, last day, it doesn't matter. We have people at Howard Community College ready, willing, and able to help you with any kind of feelings that you might be experiencing. So, Joy, thank you so much. I can't say enough how much I thank you for taking the time to meet with me this Monday morning to talk about all of that, because it's easy to concentrate on academics. It's easy to concentrate on, okay, I need a computer. I need a good connection for Wi-Fi. You know, it's easy to just concentrate on all of the material things that we need to be successful. And it's just, unfortunately, as easy to forget to pay attention to our feelings, to our mental health, and to see how we're doing there so that we can actually be successful. So thank you and welcome to our show today.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's a heavy topic. And I do want to give a warning to everybody watching and everybody listening. If this is something that feels like too much, if this conversation feels like too much right now for you, feel free to just keep browsing. Feel free to just move on to the next thing, but come back and revisit it when you feel like you can take it. You know, when you feel like you're feeling a little bit better and a little bit stronger, because I know that we're all having strong feelings right now. I know I certainly am. And it's really, really important to acknowledge if this is the right moment for you to listen or watch this conversation. And if not, just know that it's going to be on our page, Dragon Digital Radio. It's also going to be on YouTube. And it's also going to be on TV, on HEC TV. So there's many ways that you can connect with it later. Don't feel like you have to watch it right now. If not, you're going to miss it. Not at all. And also, maybe you're watching and maybe you know somebody who could benefit from watching it, but they're maybe sleep, working in class, whatever it is, you know, save the link and share it with them later, because it is important. It is important to have these conversations. It is important to have something to hold on to. And it's important to talk to people like Joy and listen to what they have to say. So before we dive into all of that, Joy, I always like to get to know my guests a little bit better and just kind of get a feeling for who they are and how they got to be where they are today. So if you can share a little bit about your story, that'd be wonderful to start this conversation.
Sure. So I am a licensed psychologist, and I always tell people that at age 9, I decided I wanted to be a psychologist. And people always wonder, how did that happen? But my mom worked in mental health, and so she was really my inspiration. And so I remember sort of saying that at 9, and then going to college, majoring in psychology, and finding that I really liked sort of helping people. So I was a resident assistant in college. I volunteered at a battered women's shelter and sort of had all these unique experiences. And I think it was my junior or senior year where I met a psychologist who was actually teaching a psychology of women course. And so she also worked full-time in the counseling center on campus. And I thought, wow, she's able to teach. She's able to sort of practice. And she actually ended up mentoring me on a research project. And I thought, wow, she has the best of all of these worlds. So she was really influential in sort of allowing me to see that I could sort of have a path not only in psychology, but working in higher education. And so that was like a really, my undergraduate experience was really pivotal in shaping my career. So now I'm able to do individual counseling, group counseling, a lot of outreach on campus and workshops. And what I really love about my position at HCC is that I'm also able to provide training and supervision for our doctoral students that come to us from different campuses in the area for a year at a time. So I feel like I really have a well-rounded experience when I think about sort of my path to psychology in general.
You know, it's beautiful to hear you say that you knew that you wanted to do this since you were little. And then as you were going along and meeting people and just kind of like letting life be life, right? You figure out exactly where you wanted to be at and what was the best idea. Because I think that for most of us is that way. It's like maybe we have an idea sometimes of what we want to be. I mean, it sounds like you were like certain, right? That you were sure that that's what you wanted to do. And it was just life kind of like reassuring you, right? And just showing you that, yes, this is your path, Joy, and patting you in the back and saying, good job, you figured it out early on and here's how you're going to get there. And that's beautiful. That's beautiful. But you know, that certainty, and I think this is a beautiful way to transition into the uncertain times that we have right now, because life, it's most of the time is not that certain, right? No. I mean, I would have to say that every day really brings most uncertainty than certainty. We like to think that we're in control and we like to feel that we're in control, but we really don't. And COVID-19 came, it rocked everybody's world. There's not one person who has not been affected in one way or another. And we continue to cope with it, and we continue, you know, we thought at first, okay, 14 days, let's give it 3 weeks, and then we'll be back into our normal lives and as we know them. And here we are many months later, still working from home, still not really seeing a clear light at the end of the tunnel, I think. I mean, I know that we know that it's there. We know that we're going to get through it. But it's not like there's a clear path to it yet, right? And as humans, I think we'd like to have that clear path. We like to know that there is, okay, this expectation where it's going to take this certain time, it's going to take the certain steps, and we're going to get there. And at the end of the day, this is how I'm going to accomplish this, or I'm going to overcome this. Well, there's none of that right now, right? Yeah. The semester just started, like I said, on the 22nd, and I can't even imagine or think some of the, you know, concerns that students are having right now in coming into the spring semester. So I wanted to see if maybe you have heard from them, if maybe they have shared some things with you, if maybe you have, you know, if they have contacted you and said, you know, these are some of the biggest concerns that I have. And you know, what words do you have for them, and what ways can they acknowledge those concerns that they have? And I guess, find the strength to overcome them.
Yeah. And I think you're right. The uncertainty is really something that we're seeing across the board. So that's from students, from faculty members, from staff members. There's so many unknowns. And so one of the top issues that we saw, particularly when we look at our numbers from the spring in Counseling and Career Services, was anxiety. So people were really worried and concerned about how they were managing all of this uncertainty and not knowing from day to day, from week to week, how things might shift and change. And I think some of that then is related to time management and even maybe some procrastination, because it can be really difficult sometimes to sort of stay on our schedule and routine when so many things are different. So we take for granted how even our commute to campus might be a way that we sort of get grounded, or sort of, you know, being able to sort of have a set time where class ends or class begins and class ends. And so I think people were sort of really dealing with a lot of anxiety, and that can sort of impact us not only in terms of physical symptoms, so tension in our body, but also emotionally, sort of that constant kind of nagging worry. And related to that, I think people are also really experiencing some changes in their mood related to depression. So it's not unusual for people to feel some sadness. So when we think about all of the social distancing that's required, the kinds of things we like to do that we may no longer have access to, there's a sense of loss. And so I think it's normal to experience some sadness, some loneliness, and I think also people may be grieving some of those experiences. We often think about grief when we, in terms of death or dying, and we know certainly people have been impacted by that kind of loss during the pandemic. And we also know people are maybe grieving those experiences, whether it's graduation, birthdays, all of these things that we typically sort of come together with large groups of people, and knowing that those things aren't as safe as they used to be. So I think people really have been adjusting in general. And sometimes when we have major adjustments, that can be exciting and sort of produce growth, but it can also come with some symptoms of depression and anxiety. So I think my message is to let people know if they've experienced any of that, they are not alone, that these are things that we really kind of want to normalize and really give people permission to start to acknowledge what they're thinking and express how they're feeling.
How important it's to hear those words that, you know, you're not alone. You can give yourself permission to feel those feelings, because I feel that for many, many, many years, really, the message has been be strong, be strong, be strong, be strong, be strong. It's almost like weakness is, you know, if you're feeling bad, if you're feeling low, if you're feeling anything other than strong, then there's something wrong. Then you're bad, then you're not worth it. And you know, this pandemic came and gave us all of us, I mean, it just really, those sensations. You just said, I had a trip planned with friends, right? In April. Well, we had to cancel that. And it was a really sad moment, you know, because it was not my choice. It's something that I was looking forward to. And I had to cancel it because of, I mean, just things completely outside of my control, right? And many other things, graduations. I mean, you just talked about that. And so many high school kids, my daughter is personally going into 11th grade this year. And I'm thinking, oh gosh, is, you know, there's my son's going into eighth. There's a trip that eighth graders do every year that it's a 3-day, 2-night kind of getaway at the end of the year. I'm thinking, is that going to happen? Is it, you know, are they going to do it? Like, I'm already thinking about this, and they haven't even started the school year yet. Right. But I'm already there. I'm already feeling those feelings. And my daughter, like I said, 11th grade, her graduation is not for 2 years. And I'm already starting to think, am I going to have to come up with creative ways to celebrate her graduation? Like, you know, the kids who just graduated had to do, or will we have the ability to gather in the way that we used to? So, you know, thinking about that and the semester that's just starting, and all of the other life things that are coming our way that have to be either modified or, you know, changed because of the current situation that we have, what are some strategies? I mean, what are some ways in which we can maybe prepare or just continue to find strength, maybe, if that's the best thing that we need to be looking for? I mean, what, you know, how do we handle this so that we can have good mental health?
Yeah. So I think that one of the things that can be really important, and it reminds me of what you said, is sort of this challenging this notion around being strong. So for me, being strong in 2020 might mean asking for help, utilizing support. And so I think it's really important when there are all these requirements around social distancing that we really are intentional about creating connections and sort of accessing our support. And whether that's family and friends, and we're doing that via Zoom or sort of other means, FaceTime, or really thinking about campus resources. And we're offering lots of services to students in a remote way that still allow them to get connected. And I think once you're able to do that, then you can also think about things that you do for self-care, because I think we could also take for granted little things that might make a difference. When so many things feel like they're out of our control, it can really be helpful to shift and think about, well, what can we control, or sort of what's within our realm. One of those things could be sleep. And I think oftentimes when people are not getting enough sleep or they're getting too much sleep, other things get disrupted. So at the start of the semester, I encourage people to really think about working on their sleep hygiene. So that could be something as simple as setting a time each night to go to sleep and a time each day to wake up. Could be sort of just really pushing to get at least 7 to 8 hours of sleep per night. This one is a little unpopular, but I always encourage people to think about limiting their nap time to maybe 20 or 30 minutes, because we know those long naps can disrupt the sleep pattern. Also encourage people to think about exercise and getting some physical activity. So much of sort of what we've been encouraged to do to stay safe is to stay in. And so again, thinking about ways you might be able to do that virtually, even being able to take a walk or kind of spend some time outdoors, particularly getting access to sunlight. And I encourage people to even think about taking mindful walks. So maybe it's not about how fast you go, but just sort of noticing, you know, as the seasons start to change, you might notice changes in the temperature, the leaves starting to fall, even the noises around you when you take your walk. So again, I think just sort of thinking about how you're taking care of your physical body as well as sort of your emotions. So the sleep and the exercise can help. But I also think particularly for students, as you think about this fall semester, really thinking about your routine. So that starts maybe with your sleep. It may certainly includes your eating. So having set times for meals so that you're not sort of forgetting to eat or kind of skipping those meals that keep you nourished and sort of energized. But also think about a routine that you can set in terms of a daily plan or a to-do list. So I know with remote learning, we may think, oh, well, I can sort of listen to that lecture whenever I want. But what I've found working with students is that it really is helpful to sort of have some set times to attend to your work, just as you would as if you were coming to campus and had a set time that class was starting and ending. Because again, getting into those routines make things feel just a little bit more concrete. And it could be something as simple as just making sure you get dressed like you're going to class, right? And so we sort of take for granted that those sort of slight changes can really help us to feel more grounded and centered. And I think when things feel so uncertain in general, we really need to have some anchors in our day that can help us have a sense of grounding.
And if I can share with everybody real quick, you know, the beginning of this pandemic, I was, I definitely fell prey for that. And I was very, my schedule just went out the door completely. I was working from the moment I woke up to the moment I went to sleep. And I had to figure out how to make that work, because I was completely, my office is in my room. That's where my virtual studio is at. That's where I'm coming to you live this morning. And I was just in this little corner that I have set up for myself for work, you know, from the moment I got up to the moment I went to sleep. Like, it was literally just, I was anchored here. This was, you know, the only place that I felt okay at the time, right? And I had to come to a point where I recognized that I was doing that and find strategies like what Joy just talked about. And something that became really helpful to me was when I closed my computer, when I closed my laptop, that was my kind of like when I walked out of my office at the end of the day, you know, in normal times, right? Or pre-COVID times, and went into my mom life, right? Like taking my kids to their practices or picking up them at school and whatever else it was that I was used to doing before COVID happened. And that's how I was able to mimic, I guess, you know, that anchor that I used to have. It was the closing my computer, my laptop, and physically walking out of my room. It was like physically walking out of my office when I used to go to my office. And going downstairs now was became the going and picking them up and taking them, you know, to it became my me time with my family time. And it took me some time. It wasn't like, and it, but I had to recognize, first of all, that I was doing that. I had to recognize where I was. I had to recognize that I was really, it was not healthy for me. That it was really, really stressful for me. And it takes that recognition. It takes that, as you were saying, that awareness, that presence. I love what you said. I love taking walks. And one of the things that I try to do is I try to see how the flowers look different every day, you know, like the plants, different leaves, different everything just changes. It grounds me and it makes my walk so much more enjoyable when I do that. I really feel my walk that way. But when I am just walking and thinking about a million other things that are happening in my life and in the world, I don't enjoy my walk, and it almost feels like it was heavy instead of healthy for me. So online learning, I think, can feel really heavy for a lot of our students. So I want to go back to that, because I think that that has been the biggest trigger maybe for everybody who's going to education this semester. And I want to talk about maybe ways, you know, we talked about the routine and the importance of an upper routine, but what are some other things that maybe students can do in order to prepare for online learning and this new way of learning that they're now encountering this fall semester?
Yeah, I actually like one of the things you suggested, Maria, in terms of like setting up a workspace, because I think that one of the things I've heard a lot from students is that they really sort of miss being able to go to the library or study on campus. And so I would encourage people to really create a space, even if that's sort of a space within your room that you literally kind of have to put up some borders. So whether that's a poster board or something, I've seen that lately, that people are sort of creating their own space. And within that space, kind of giving yourself permission to access everything that you need. So whether that's a laptop or your textbooks, materials, and having like a planner or a to-do list, something that you can sort of mark off each day that keeps you accountable. So many students, many faculty, staff members have really been talking about how the days start to blend together, and there's sort of, we don't have those same markers. So I would encourage people to create, whether it's a calendar, something visual, so that you can see from day to day, not only what you need to do, but kind of what's on your agenda. And I really sort of like the idea of having that space maybe be separate from the space that you use for relaxation or sort of other kinds of habits, even sleep. So I always encourage students to move away from their bed when they're doing work and try to kind of carve out a separate space so that your sleep doesn't sort of get disrupted by thoughts about work or kind of those associations. And again, thinking about scheduling time for breaks, because I think it can be really tempting to kind of continue working. Maybe you don't sort of have the same responsibilities that you did before. You don't have to sort of move your car or get to a certain place, but sort of being intentional about setting breaks. I even would encourage people to think about, even if it's 10 minutes sort of between classes, or sort of thinking about your hour ending at 10 till the hour, to even do a little bit of mindfulness or meditation. There's a lot of research about how mindfulness improves concentration, sleep, mood. And the researchers down in Durham, North Carolina at the Koru Mindfulness Center say that for college students, as little as 10 minutes a day can make a huge difference, 10 minutes of mindfulness practice per day. So I encourage people to really take some time just to be present and shift gears. That could be 10 minutes just to sort of focus on your breathing, 10 minutes to sort of just notice kind of what's happening in your body physically or physical sensations. And thinking about that 10 minutes as being a nice transition from one task to the other. So like Maria mentioned, sort of literally being able to close the laptop as a way to kind of signal the end. I'd encourage that. And then maybe once that's closed, taking just 10 minutes to sort of breathe and kind of be present before you move, you know, or go downstairs or go outside, so that you literally sort of have created some time to kind of almost like hit the reset button. Because I think that it can be really hard sometimes. And I know even for me, when I'm sort of working and things and feeling really productive, that doesn't mean I need to continue. You still need to be able to pause and stop and kind of create that balance. And so I think even just giving yourself permission, and a lot of folks that are using apps, things like Insight Timer, Calm, Happify, to even give them reminders. So at a certain time each day, you'll know, okay, it's time to breathe, it's time to meditate. And I think all of those things can go along with sort of those other kind of anchors that we're talking about, so that your days start to have a little bit more rhythm, a little bit more routine.
And I love that you said that. You know, I love that you mentioned the reminders. I'm big with reminders. I have couple of different alarms that go off. I would definitely say to people, though, if you have many, many things that you need to remember, maybe not set too many reminders, because after a while, I did that too, where I set a reminder for everything.
Yeah.
And that actually started to create a little bit of anxiety for me, where, you know, I had a reminder set for like every 10 minutes or an hour or whatever it was, right? Depending on how many things I had going on for the day. So, but it is a good strategy, because it really does help you kind of like anchor your day. And I know I didn't do this morning. I know I said it's Monday, but at the beginning of the pandemic, I love what you said as well, with the days blend into each other. I use my phone and my phone, you know, to look at the date, to look at the day, to just really ground myself every morning through the live show on my phone. And that's one of the reasons why I say today is Monday, today is Tuesday, because it really, you know, gives me that sensation of, okay, this is where I am today in place and in time. And it really helps me to just go through the rest of the day. We've talked about online learning. We've talked about, you know, some of the challenges and some of the strategies to overcome those challenges. HSC is offering three types of classes this semester, right? We're offering online, synchronous, asynchronous, but we're also offering hybrid. And I think that each one of them needs different strategies, because each one of them brings their own pros and cons, right? And we all have our own feelings in this pandemic about where we should be and how things should be working at this time. And we're all making decisions based on what's available and what we feel is going to work best for us. So I want to really dive into the three and really, you know, see if there's specific strategies maybe for when you're taking asynchronous classes, because say you're a person who works full time, you're a person who has a family, your kids are not going to school, so you're going to have to teach them in the morning when your classes would be offered regularly, and you know, you can't be in a classroom setting at a specific time because you're doing many other things, right? That on its own, you know, and for me, just talking about it, I feel myself tensing up. I feel my shoulders coming together, right? And I'm like, and I'm not even taking a class. That's not my situation, but I feel that for some of our students, right? When you are in those situations, when you're navigating your own classes, maybe your family's, whatever other obligations you have, work, I mean, just everything else that comes in life, right? How do we help ourselves? How do we navigate that? And how do we stay strong so that we can have a successful fall semester when we're taking asynchronous classes?
Yeah. Well, first, I just want to acknowledge the challenges that come with that, because I think you're right. People are often juggling lots of different roles and responsibilities. And so if we were only taking one asynchronous class, it would look a lot different than doing that and attending to family obligations and work and relationships. And so I think you really have to be intentional about setting aside time, and I would say each day, to devote to that class. And so just like you sort of schedule time to work or sort of schedule time to eat or sleep, really sort of giving yourself permission to set aside a certain time, an amount of time. And I would also encourage people to really consider setting aside time to connect with their professors too, early in the semester and throughout, so that you're making sure that you understand the requirements, that you're in communication with them, and that you feel comfortable sort of asking for what you need. And so when you set aside the time, I think it sort of makes it a regular part of your schedule. You connect with the professor, then you sort of know, I mean, not only are they aware of your needs, but you may sort of get to know and understand them a little bit better. And then I think being able to reevaluate that plan from week to week, because there may be certain weeks where there's more required of you for that course versus another. And so really sort of being willing to be flexible. And I always encourage people, as soon as sort of they get a syllabus for a course, that they look at that and start to write down and plug in dates throughout the semester. And so there may be things that you can anticipate, might be weeks that might be more challenging. So that's when you can sort of enlist your support and really sort of get help to kind of plan or anticipate that there might be certain days or sort of certain weeks in the semester where you might need to sort of lean on other people a little bit more. And, you know, they may need to lean on you at certain points. So being able to sort of plan for that is important, because I think oftentimes we get overwhelmed when we sort of haven't really taken into account sort of all of the things that could happen at once. And sometimes I think being able to have a plan, even if you need a plan B or sort of even a plan C, makes a difference. And because I think that sometimes we take for granted that we can kind of get to the asynchronous work when we can, but I encourage folks to not think about it that way, but to really be intentional from the first day of class about making time for those kinds of provisions.
communication. I love that you brought that up because I don't think we have really talked about it. And I think that when we are students, we think, well, I can communicate with my teacher because I see them at school. They have, you know, hours set up. I can go to their classroom and face-to-face, at least for me, face-to-face is a really powerful way of communicating. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I communicate more effectively when I can see people, when I can have that interaction, look at their reactions. Emails, I feel like many times they're up for interpretation and, you know, I might be saying one thing and then the person reads it in a different way because my comma was before or after a word that it shouldn't have been, or maybe I forgot the comma altogether, right? Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about that. Let's talk about facilitating that communication. Let's talk about the ways in which the students can communicate with faculty, staff, and maybe other students, you know, and the importance of, you know, having all of those channels of communication open throughout the semester.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because I think that could also transition to sort of when we think about the synchronous learning, because oftentimes with Zoom, there are many ways that we communicate that maybe we couldn't before. So I know as someone that does presentations and even has presented for faculty and staff, I really like when students use the chat feature. So if you don't feel comfortable raising your hand, being able to sort of write a question in during using the chat, also being able to use like breakout rooms. I know particularly with Zoom, there are options to sort of have smaller group interaction, and that's a great opportunity to connect with other students. Even something like turning your camera on, you know, students always have that option to sort of have the camera on or off, but maybe sort of thinking about and being intentional about kind of having that camera on more often than not, because again, that's another way that you can communicate with faculty or staff, and they can certainly sort of maybe get a different impression of you if your camera is on and they can see a little bit of the body language, or sort of even using some of the reaction features on Zoom, so whether it's a clap or sort of a thumbs up. So I think that there are ways that you can do that when you're in class, and then certainly using things like Canvas, email, even setting up Zoom consultations. People have sort of drop-in hours now via Zoom. And again, like we said at the beginning, you don't have to worry about finding parking or sort of anticipating any traffic when you do a Zoom drop-in hour. So I encourage folks to really think about ways that they can use the technology to their advantage, and sort of thinking about even how you do that with other students. So that could be, you could still sort of have virtual ways of studying together and setting aside time where you might connect virtually to make sure that you're reviewing. I know that there are lots of programs for students as well, because I think we often are so focused on our academic adjustment that we sort of forget the social adjustment that comes. And I think a large part of college is also building our leadership skills, building our ability to network and kind of connect with other resources. So I encourage people to really still think about ways to get involved on campus, whether it's via student life, getting involved with student organizations, the Student Government Association, Student Programming Board. Counseling Services also does a number of programs around mental health. We even have an ongoing series with Student Life called Food for Thought, which is an opportunity for students to connect and talk about some social justice issues that have come up. Because again, I think sometimes we're in this pandemic and other things are happening. I feel like there are multiple pandemics that are occurring. And so it can also be really powerful to connect with other students to see how they're reacting. What are they thinking? How are they feeling? And so again, you might feel a little bit more energized after you've had an opportunity to connect in that way. It might be a little easier than to go back to studying or writing that paper or completing that exam. And so I encourage people to really be, again, intentional around still staying connected to those other campus resources. Because you never know sort of who you're in class with this semester. That person may be on an internship the next semester that could connect you with another potential resource. So I think whether it's faculty that you're trying to stay connected with or students, there's some ways in which kind of increasing your presence on Zoom or online can actually make a big difference in your overall experience.
And you can visit our website, howardcc.edu. Look for the calendar. You can also maybe, you know, on Facebook, right here on Facebook, you can go to Student Live, you can go and look for the Wellness Center, you can look for all of the different pages that are associated with Howard Community College's different resources. And if you're still not finding them, or if you're still feel like you need to connect in a different way, send an email. Send an email to any of those offices. Send an email to myself. Send an email to Joy, and we'll be more than happy to try to connect you and help you connect with who it is that you want to get in touch with. We talked about asynchronous and synchronous, and I think that, you know, we've spoken a whole deal a lot about that, and it's a lot. And you know, please know that we understand that it is a lot of information, and the expectation here is not for you to go and be like, okay, I got my list, I'm going to go and do every little step perfectly, and this is it, right? Yeah. That's probably too much, but maybe take one of these things, the one where you feel that you're going to gain the most right now, or that is the easiest for you to do right now. Take that one, implement it, and continue to build from there. But we haven't really talked about the hybrid classes at Howard Community College and what that brings. I feel that that brings a whole set of other, you know, variables with it. And maybe our students are having other type of feelings, you know, associated with having to come to class and having to step away from their house and interact with the students and the teachers, and in a setting that it's close to what normal was, but at the same time, it's going to be very weird because there are going to be very few people on campus yeah. when they come in. And there's all of this sets and regulations and things that they have to follow when they come to campus. So let's talk about that. And let's talk about, for those students who are having, you know, some hybrid classes, what are some tips for them? What are some things that they need to be aware of so that they can, you know, be, again, successful and just take the semester and just push through it and get through it in the best possible way.
Yeah. Well, I think it's first just okay to acknowledge that there could be some excitement about coming to campus and sort of being able to sort of be in the classroom with other students, but there could also be lots of fears about what that might look like and sort of what risks that might present. And so I think that with any sort of change, there can be some discomfort. And so being able to acknowledge that discomfort is important. And I think also being able to prepare. So one of the things that we probably have a lot of experience with in August compared to March is sort of how prepared we need to be to go out. So taking those precautions, like making sure that you have a mask. I know for me, I keep an extra mask in the car just in case I forget to bring one with me. Really keeping your hand sanitizer with you, being willing to wash your hands multiple times, things that might get frustrating, but ultimately sort of keep us safe. And I think can also sort of help to manage some of the fear or kind of trepidation that we have. And if you are like me and have waited in line at a grocery store or waited to get into some other establishment, being able to adhere to kind of those social distancing requirements. I think preparing yourself to use some of the skills you've been practicing over the past few months on campus is important. And also being willing to kind of follow other people's leads. Like, so there are lots of folks on campus that have been really thoughtful and intentional about how to make this a safe experience for students and sort of looking at kind of your best interests. So really sort of following those guidelines and sort of adhering to their leadership in order to kind of make the most of the experience. And I think if you're able to do that, then the other thing I would really encourage people to really try to do is to be present. So when you are on campus, really sort of with your mask and sort of all these other precautions you've taken, to really try your best to be there, right? So it's a unique opportunity at this point to be able to take a course on campus. And so really allowing yourself to physically be there and kind of take in as much as you can without the distractions. And so I think if we kind of reframe it as a unique opportunity, then that can also help us to really attend to what's happening when we're in the room. So I often will encourage people to think about even something as simple as using their five senses. So if you're feeling nervous or a little on edge when you get to campus, think about how you can kind of ground yourself. And so that might be as simple as noticing kind of five things that you can see around you. So the visual cues, or just tuning into four things that you can hear. Again, that could be something as simple as the birds singing. It could be other voices, sort of people that are moving about, might even be the wind blowing. And then three things you can feel. So noticing how your body feels, how your feet feel sort of touching the ground. Two things you can smell. Again, we sort of take for granted kind of all the smells, especially if you're moving from one building to the next or moving from your car to a building. And then one thing you can taste. So again, sort of thinking about something that might, maybe it's a peppermint, something that has a strong taste, could be something more soothing like tea or, but again, those are ways if you're sort of having difficulty, like kind of making that transition from you know, home to campus, or even sort of leaving campus and heading back, things that you might do once you get to the classroom or even sort of on your walk or your commute there. Because I think those are the things that are going to allow you to feel like you really are present and kind of tuned in to then what's happening in the course. Because there's so many things that can kind of pull us away from that. But I think being able to kind of give yourself permission to really sort of savor kind of that experience and what's happening can make it feel a little bit different when you're in the room and then able to focus and concentrate on the learning that occurs.
I love that you use the word excitement, because we are so concentrated in all of the negatives and all of the fears and all of those, you know, overwhelming feelings that we forget that it is okay to be excited, that it is okay to really enjoy the positive. I think some people may be even feeling guilty, right? Mm-hmm. And not allowing themselves to really fully enjoy the experience, as you were saying, and just be present on it and take that unique opportunity and make the best of it. Because, you know, there's a pandemic, how can I be excited, you know, about having the opportunity to come to college while everybody else at home, you know, or things like that. And it's okay. It's okay. Enjoy that moment, take that opportunity that you're given and make the best of it. Take that excitement and just really embrace it, you know, yeah. Like have a party in your heart with it, like seriously. Students coming in, first time students, the first semester, they just graduated from high school. This is their first college experience. Mm-hmm. What can you say to them, Joy?
I really want to encourage them to be gentle and kind with themselves, because that this may not be the experience that you were expecting. And so I want folks to really sort of think about how they can really kind of nurture themselves to get through. Because there are, even minus a pandemic, there's a lot of adjustment when you think about high school to college, or even sort of our adult learners that are returning, maybe haven't been on campus in a while. And so there's sort of a lot of things to manage. And so giving yourself permission to sort of thrive and do well, but also to make some mistakes and have to ask some questions, that's okay too. And I think if we sort of approach it with that sort of, I think a lot of times we can be a little bit more gentle and kind with other people than we are with ourselves. And so I think it's really important to know that you may not have all the answers, and you'll probably learn a lot of things sort of this fall semester that you didn't know before. And not just sort of what you're learning in terms of your textbooks and your professors, but things that you're learning about yourself. So I think for a lot of students, you get better at college by virtue of being in college. I know for me, sort of how I was as a student, my senior year of college, it was very different than my first year. So there were a lot of things that I was sort of learning and developing along the way. So give yourself permission to sort of be yourself, because I think there will be some things that you have to adjust to and things that you'll manage. And really, you know, going back to that early message, be willing to sort of ask for help, that you're not alone if you feel overwhelmed, you're not alone if you feel a little nervous, you're not alone if you feel scared, quite frankly. And so being able to connect with other people often helps us to kind of put our feelings in context. And so asking for help could be from a professor, it could be from someone like me, a psychologist, could be the Learning Assistance Center. So there are lots of people that are poised and ready to help. And these are folks that have been on campus, that have had to make our own adjustments. So we are experts, so to speak, in adjusting and growing. And so please don't ever feel like you have to do this on your own. There's always sort of someone that's waiting and willing to help.
And I love that you said be patient with yourself. And I would just like to encourage everybody to also be patient with everybody else, because For many of our professors, this is their first semester doing online teaching as well. So this has been an adjustment for everybody. And we're all, you know, and I know that's that cliche thing, right? We're all in this together. And it really is. We're all dealing with new everything, right? A new way of doing work, a new way of doing school, a new way of doing even shopping. I was not an online shopper. I mean, Amazon, you know, if we wanted to buy something from Amazon before, that was your choice. Now it's like, well, if I go to the store, I can't find all of these things. And now I'm kind of pushed to go shop online. Sure. So, you know, all of these things that before we had the choice of whether we wanted to do them or not, they were available for the most part. Suddenly we were all just pushed and shoved right into it, right? And we all had to adjust and we all had to do it. So be patient with yourself if you're still learning. Know that technology is going to be technology like it was this morning, and it might delay you and it might give you trouble, but don't give up, you know, don't give up. And the moment I loved, and I want to go back to that thought that you said at the beginning, Joy, where you said, being strong for me right now, this fall 2020, mm-hmm. is asking for help.
Yeah.
So knowing that to me is a powerful thing, that being strong doesn't mean that you're always smiling and that you're always pushing through by yourself and doing things on your own. That's not what being strong is. I think that in the way that I at least describe being strong is recognizing where you are, recognizing what you need, mm-hmm. recognizing if you can do it on your own or if you need somebody else to assist you. And that's where the courage part and the brave part comes in, taking that step to actually go in and doing it. You know, after you've recognized it, taking that step of either helping, you know, asking for help or changing that behavior or habit or whatever that might be for you. So as we are getting ready to wrap our conversation up this morning, Joy, you know, some final thoughts. I mean, I know we were really trying to concentrate on our students at Howard Community College, and our students are employees, our students are fathers and mothers, our students are teenagers who just graduated, our students are dedicated students. I mean, they come from all walks of life, right? Mm-hmm. If you could just give everybody like general, I don't know, maybe five to 10 tips, right? That no matter where you are today, no matter what you're doing today, that you can just take with you and try to implement with you to continue to stay, as we said, strong, right? I keep using that strong word, you know, in this process, or just continue to be well. Let's change that word to be well, right? What would those tips be?
So I've been doing a lot of research this summer on happiness, sort of the science of happiness and positive psychology. And so we know that there are some sort of tried and true habits of happy people. And so I've also been very fortunate to have the opportunity to work with folks that were, you know, as young as 18 and, you know, over 55. And I've heard some similar themes in terms of where people are struggling. And so I feel like some of those tried true kind of ideas around happiness apply here. So again, one of them I think is, and this is sort of a theme for our conversation today, is around connection. So I really encourage people to stay connected, be it with family, with friends, with campus resources. But we know that there's research that suggests that sort of people have higher levels of happiness when they have at least one close friendship. So I think sometimes we have this sort of idea that we have to have lots of friends. And so I don't know if it's as much about the volume, but it's about the quality of the connection. So I encourage people to really be intentional about staying connected. And by connected, meaning staying in contact, being willing to talk about what's going on, checking in with one another. I think that's really important. Another habit around happiness, or what we know about sort of people that report higher levels of happiness, is this idea of acts of kindness. And so I know for many of us, volunteering or being a part of community service organization might have been a part of our routine or a part of our world pre-pandemic. And so I want to encourage people to still think about ways that they can sort of have those acts of kindness. Because again, research tells us that people actually have longer lifespans when they are committed to volunteering or connected to some sort of community service organization. So that could even be something as simple as gratitude, like sending a thank you letter, letting someone know that you appreciate them, giving someone a compliment, making a donation. So even if we can't physically go to volunteers, there's sort of other ways that we can kind of have that same acts of kindness. Another one that I've heard a lot about, and I've sort of certainly revisited this myself, is thinking about this idea of flow. So doing things that you really could do and just lose track of time because you're just so invested, so engrossed, you enjoy it. So it could be a hobby, an old habit. I've had a lot of friends that have revisited like playing musical instruments that they might've played in high school or even kind of elementary or middle school. Singing, even art. I know a lot of students have been really creative and doing painting and sort of other kinds of artwork. So thinking about something that you do that you really enjoy, and that's a little bit challenging, because we can also think about that even for like runners. They'll talk about a runner's high. And so again, something that gives you that sense of flow. Related to that, as I talk about runners, thinking about exercise too. I know one of the things that's really helped me throughout the pandemic is yoga. So I find that if I don't do yoga, I notice it because I might feel a little bit more irritable, might be a little bit more tired. So you want to sort of have things that are part of your routine where you're moving, getting some kind of physical exercise, be it something that's really active or, you know, where you're kind of increasing your heart rate, or something that could be more calming or soothing. Another one I'd encourage people to think about is meditation. So we talked a little bit about mindfulness today and kind of being present. But again, thinking about even what would it look like to just give yourself permission 10 minutes a day to just breathe. That might be how you start your day, could be how you end your day, could be that transition when you close that laptop that you just sort of take those 10 minutes. And so there's a really good book that I encourage people to take a look at. It's called The Mindful 20-something, and it talks about ways to just sort of incorporate that 10 minutes per day. And if you're not 20-something, if you're not an emerging adult, there's a book called Real Happiness, The Power of Meditation. And it gives some similar ideas and themes just about sort of ways in which meditation can kind of add to your experience. The other thing that I would encourage people to think about is gratitude. And so many times, you know, we think about a gratitude journal. And so again, when we look at the research from positive psychology, we know that grateful people report higher levels of happiness. So even if it's something that you wanted to start at the beginning of the semester, just writing down two things a day that you're grateful for. And so when you're having a difficult time, because, you know, difficult moments will occur, being able to look back on those moments of gratitude, I think, can be really helpful. It can also be a reminder to hit the reset button, because if you start to notice themes in those gratitude lists, maybe that means it's time to revisit some of those things that you're doing. So I feel like those are habits that could be really helpful, but also subtle, because I don't think any of the things that I've mentioned would require a lot of money or maybe even require a lot of time, but they could make really significant shifts in terms of your mood and your outlook. And I think oftentimes people that practice sort of these kinds of habits or routines also start to notice changes in their relationships with other people. So I always sort of talk about sleep and that being so important. I don't know if I've added that in the list, but I do want to reiterate the importance of rest. Because again, so many of us are just juggling lots of roles and responsibilities. And I think we're better jugglers when we are well rested. And so if we can kind of aim for that 7 to 8 hours, or if 7 to 8 hours feels like a lot, just starting with thinking about those set times for sleep, and maybe kind of reserving the bed for sleep as opposed to work or social media. So even something maybe as simple as starting your day with breathing as opposed to immediately looking at the phone or scrolling, because that's the last tip I'll add. I love social media. I think it can be a great way to connect, great way to get information. But I also think given the pandemic and sort of all the things that are happening in the country, we have to be really mindful of our consumption. And so being intentional around how much or when, because sometimes it might not be helpful to sort of take that in before you go to sleep or to start your day, because we know that there can be some things that we view that can be triggering or even traumatic. And so just being intentional about your consumption, there are sort of ways in which we can stay aware or stay involved that may not be to our detriment. So I know that for many folks, that at least at some point during the pandemic, they've had to just kind of reevaluate their relationship with their phone or with social media or the news broadly. And so again, I think it's great to stay informed, but also just being aware of kind of what your needs are. And kind of like Maria said at the beginning, even if a conversation around mental health is too much today, it's okay to pause or kind of keep scrolling and come back when you're ready. And I think that can be really helpful when you think about how you're starting the semester, is really starting with some healthy habits that hopefully you can kind of build on throughout the next few months.
Absolutely. And one thing that I can say, you know, going with your idea of being grateful, I can be very grateful that Zoom decided to work with us today. Yeah. You know, it took 3 tries. It took a few different clicks here and there, but we got it. And, you know, being grateful for those little things instead of taking it for granted can really make a difference and can really just impact the way that the rest of your day goes. So we are out of time this morning, but I know that there's more questions. I know that people listening and watching have many more thoughts and ideas and would love to have conversations like this. Where can they connect with you? Where can they get assistance? Where can they go?
Sure. So Counseling and Career Services is located in the RCF building on campus, room 302. We are offering virtual services, what we call telepsychology. So you can call us at 443-518-1340 to make an appointment. That's 443-518-1340. And I would really encourage people to make an appointment now. So sometimes we think that we have to wait until we're in crisis in order to see a counselor, but why not make the appointment at the beginning of the semester, establish that relationship, make that connection so that you have some ongoing support when things shift or change. And if you have questions about kind of how to make an appointment or what to expect in the first session, you can visit our website, which you can simply do the search for counseling services on the HCC webpage, and it'll give you information about who we are, what we offer. So we have our staff bios, we have information about first appointments, and then other kinds of resources. So it may not be you that makes the appointment, but maybe you want to refer a friend, and we'll have information for how to do that. And maybe you simply decide to come to a program or workshop. We'd love to see you on Zoom for some of the programs we have this fall. So please consider that information, because you never know when it may come in handy. And it's a free resource for students. And so I always encourage people to take advantage of the free resources for counseling, because we know that that's not always the case when we're not students, that can come with sort of some other kinds of ways of payment. So we do have free individual counseling for students, group counseling. So really sort of explore those options, because we, again, asking for help is really a sign of strength, a sign of courage, and can really be a sign of resilience.
Joy, thank you so very much for this conversation. Thank you so much for your time today and for helping us ground ourselves for the beginning of the semester, and know that a way to be courage and to find courage and to be strong is to actually ask for help this semester. So thank you so very much.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.